Hello and welcome to Wikipedia Wanderers Season 5. We are underway with a bit of a new format as well, and this time we're going to be having a bit of a conversation around Harry Kane. And I've got some questions lined up for Josh, because obviously he's our residential Spurs fan, and he's going to be answering some questions about his thoughts and ideas and other things like that about Harry Kane. And this is inspired by Hot Ones, Josh, which you actually got me to watch.
A firm favourite in my YouTube catalogue is Hot Ones on First We Feast. And so if anyone hasn't seen it, 10 hot wings in increasing spice. And normally it's film stars. It's all American-based, a lot of film stars, lots of American sports films. So when there was a crossover between my beloved Harry Kane and my beloved Hot Ones, I was like, well, this is fascinating.
Yeah.
I did not expect to ever see this as a crossover. But, you know, Harry Kane was on there. He was okay. But it was very odd to see a football out of his natural environment. Often you see him, you know, interviewed after a match or anything sport related, but completely unsport related and just, you know, just giving an interview, just, yeah, nothing, it's nothing around football. It didn't have to be. It could be about his personal life. So yeah, it was very strange.
I found it really interesting. I thought he came off really well. There was one of the questions that I really liked, actually, Harry Kane's answer on, was the difference between how sports athletes give their opinion in their relative media between English and America. And he was like, there seems to be a bit more freedom in America for players just to say, well, that was absolutely shit and we need to play better. Whereas a footballer is always like, oh, the next game, we move on 3 points and things like that. But it does lead me on, Josh, about the whole thing of this idea is footballers being on a non-sport show, because we see footballers all the time on, like, you know, Question of Sport and things like that, and past footballers come into this. But can you remember a footballer being on a non-sports based TV show? Now, obviously, YouTube isn't TV, but I guess it is, and it's replacing TV in a way. But
yeah.
Can you remember anyone? Does anyone spring to your mind?
Do you know what's first thing that sprung to mind is Rio Ferdinand had his own TV show.
Murked.
He got murked.
Yeah,
like his prank show. Like Punked, Ashton Kutcher's Punked. And do you remember any of his murkings? Is that a thing?
I don't think I watched any of that show.
Did you not?
No, I don't think I did. Did he do Wayne Rooney once?
I imagine he pulled heavily on his teammates at the time. Rio Ferdinand's World Cup wind-up. You got murked. There's a supercut on YouTube if you want to watch it.
I'm all right.
So the programme was called Rio's World Cup Wind-Up. So a short English hidden camera practical joke show. Ashley Cole, Sean Rock Phillips, Peter Crouch, Wayne Rooney, David James and David Beckham.
I have no memory of that. I assume he did it to Wayne Rooney. I think I've got a part of my mind that's there, but I can't bring it to the forefront of my mind to think, oh yeah, that's how he murked Wayne Rooney. But Josh has got something.
It gives you a list of all being murked. This one sounds brutal. Wayne Rooney. Rooney is visiting a dog's home with his wife, Colleen, when a little boy's dog dies. My Christ.
Oh, my word, that's dark, Rio.
That's not... How is that fun? That's so brutal.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal. That is pretty brutal, but... back to the question, Josh. Just for clarity to the listeners, we don't have a set of spicy wings going from 1 to 10. That was a bit out of our budget to do that across borders. So it's just a conversation. But yeah, footballers on non-TV shows. So, okay, Rio Ferdinand and Merckx got his colleagues into, you know, pranks and about dead dogs or however you want to phrase it. But anything else? In like a mainstream TV show, can you think of...
We had Joey Barton on Question Time. When Joey Barton was all on his real political rants on unless I've just blocked him, he's very much more quiet on social media now. But there's probably about 5-10 years ago when he was very outspoken and, you know, somewhat hypocritical. Although I think he spoke up for good causes. It was kind of like, it's Joey Barton talking about it, isn't it?
Yeah, he couldn't win, could he? Because it felt like he was... Maybe maturing is the wrong word, but maturing in his views and trying to support causes. But then you're like, yeah, but you stubbed a cigar out in a youth team player's eye. So who's going to take you seriously? But I had forgotten about that. That was in there with the Merckx program in the back of my head. Yeah, Joey Barton on.
We have Dion Dublin's a presenter, isn't he?
The inventor of the Jube. and but he presents.
Oh my goodness, it is. Yeah. Do you know what? I've recently been looking at a percussion instrument to maybe do a bit of a jamming session with a couple of friends.
Please get a tube. Please get a tube.
And I'd forgot that there was a. I mean, I imagine it's going to be really expensive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or if they were so epically, you can pick them up for a fiver on eBay.
But anyway, sorry, yes, the inventor of the tube. Is he still presenting Holmes Under the Hammer?
He is on Holmes Under the Hammer. Yeah, it's not. I can't say it's a show that I watch regularly. I think he's just got a little bit of a side gig on that, and there's a few minutes in the show he's there, but that's unexpected, I'd say
that's probably the best we're going to get. I can't imagine we're going to beat someone being a TV presenter for something like Holmes Under the Hammer as a footballer. So, yeah.
No, you obviously have, I mean, it's somewhat sports related. So when you have them on Strictly, so David James on Strictly,
yeah.
And David Seaman was on Dancing on Ice.
Never you've saw got that.
Celebrity Love Island back in the day with Lee Sharp was on there. You've got, I think, Ian Wright was on I'm a Celebrity.
Get me out of here. He was. Harry Redknapp.
Did you do that show?
Was Harry Redknapp on?
Harry Redknapp was on it, yeah.
Would I do it? I think I would like to say yes, but I think when it actually came down to it, I'd probably say no. Like, they'd put the contract in front of me and I'd be like, do you know what? No.
Just got to focus on that, the revenue generated, or the income, I think it's there.
Yeah, true.
That contract, you're going, oh, it's £1 million for eating a kangaroo's anus? Yes. Tick.
Yeah. I think
What would you be balk at? What are you not liking?
I don't think it's about the money side of it. I think, because obviously that would come with it being on the show. It would be a contract that's better than any job I could ever get, I'd imagine, with what they pay. It would be, who's in there with me? And I'd want to, obviously you don't know until you get there, but I'd be like, I don't want to be on there.
That's a very fair shout, that is.
Like, there'd be so many people that I would clash, personality-wise, opinions-wise, and things like that, which is the point of the show. But it wouldn't work for me. I think that's...
Okay, so you've made your name in your industry.
Podcasting.
And so not a footballer. So which footballer would you like to join you on I'm a Celebrity or on a TV show?
Oh, which footballer would I like to join me?
You can sit there, so you can chat, and you obviously spend a lot of time, and you want someone who's quite interested. Probably someone who's a manager as well, I'm going to go for, because they've got the experience of playing and managing.
Can I have a caveat that whoever I pick can speak fluent English? So it can be anyone in the world, and that for this bit, they speak English.
We've got a
translator. Okay. I think that's another person the show's got to pay for, isn't it? If we're all going to the jungle.
That's true.
We've paid for two and we're asking for three. So it's really tough. Weirdly, I think someone like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer would be good to get, like, because he played for my club and he managed the club and it didn't go brilliantly, but the footballing career he had at United was very, very good. But not like an outstanding level of world-class striker at Man United. He was a very good goal scorer, but wasn't a world-class striker. So I think there'd be a lot to talk about with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Yeah, I like that answer. That's my first and final answer, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Nice.
Who would you like to see on a non-sports show? Not with you, but is there any footballer you would like to see in a certain show?
Do you know what I'd like? It's a non-sport related
show. Yeah.
Just as a caveat, I'd like to see them bring back Superstars. Do you ever watch that? When it was ex-sportsmen playing and they would like compete in a kind of sports day on speed, kind of like they would go to Malaga and they would do different events, like a kind of like a decathlon type thing. They'd do like a long distance thing. They'd do swimming or something. So they should bring that back, and because all different sportsmen, all different, like cyclists would compete against boxers, compete against footballers, but like retired ones.
Yeah, okay.
But in terms of non-sport related, I've really got to start to enjoy Roy Keane a lot more now. I think I was at a time where I liked him as a player. I thought he's really angry, and then watching the overlap Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher, he comes across really, really, really well. So I'd like to see more of Roy Keane, but a bit more out of his. But so I've kind of I'm a Celebrity to really see how calm he'll be and kind of how his behaviour will be, because I've seen him in kind of like football adjacent things.
nonsense. So that's what he would say to that invite, I think. Yeah. That's why I'm a celebrity. Okay. James Ward-Prowse University Challenge. That's what I'd go with. Or no, not James Ward-Prowse. Patrick Bamford is the one I'm thinking of, sorry.
Patrick Bamford?
Because he's got a university education. So, yeah, I'd be interested to see Patrick Bamford on University Challenge. Because then it would mirror, I think you'd realise how stupid footballers are, because he's a university educated footballer and wouldn't be able to answer many questions. Yeah.
Well, I imagine it'd be like the celebrity ones, like Celebrity Mastermind, where it's a real step down from level of mastermind. So who are you making on your university challenge? Am I the captain? No. Yeah, okay, go on. Just, you've got three other people to join you from the world of football. Thinking of my three, okay.
And what categories are we having? Like,
No. Just who you think we're going to be able to help me here. We have no idea what the questions would be. Just think out of the footballers now, I'm going to get them.
Right. I'm captain. I'm having Patrick Bamford, because he's the only footballer I know that's got a university education. David James. I reckon he knows some proper useless stuff in his head. Art. He's really into his art, isn't he, David James? So that could be quite helpful.
He is.
And then I think I'm going to go with someone like... For some reason, I want an American on my team. Because they still have... Through college, they still have to do the proper education, right? I know it's not an amazing education.
But they are also American.
But they are American. So...
So, big shout out to America. Yeah. Love you guys.
We love you guys.
Do I actually?
I need one more.
My first one is actually going to be Eric Dyer.
Eric Dyer? Please explain why.
Multilingual. Very balanced. Yeah, very, I think, quite knowledgeable.
They normally ask questions in Portuguese, don't they? So
they might ask something which has historically been Portuguese. He'll know stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull out a manager. I'm going to go Pep Guardiola on there.
It'll be useless at university. I was thinking of a manager, but I couldn't think of one that I think has a broad enough spectrum. Like, I think you have to go Roy Hodgson. I'd go Roy Hodgson. He's seen a lot. He's seen it all.
Ooh,
he's seen
nice.
It all. He's still got Bloomin' Inkarta on CD, I reckon, Roy Hodgson. That's what he uses for his knowledge.
Do you know, I'm actually going to add in, because I'm just dabbling down on the language route, Lukaku. He knows like 8-9 languages. That's got to be of some use.
Right. Listeners, which team would win? It's me v Josh as captains, and I've got Patrick Bamford, Roy Hodgson, and David James versus Josh's superstars of Josh, Pep Guardiola, Eric Dyer, and Romelu Lukaku. I think I've got that one in the bag. So,
you reckon?
I reckon
no
I've
chance.
Got that in the bag, yeah. I reckon I've got that in the
Roy
bag.
Roy Hodgson would just kind of freeze. He wouldn't have a clue. He's too old.
Nah, I think I've got that in the bag. Right, I've got another question lined up for you, Josh. That's enough of TV shows. Harry Kane, obviously, pure goal scorer. We know that, right? What, 213 goals in 317 games for Spurs. England's record goal scorer, 58 in 84 in the senior team. But have you got anyone else up there for favourite goal scorers? Like a really good goal scorer. Obviously, you've got your classics, you know, your Ronaldo, things like that. But obviously, mine, Ruud van Nistelrooy, is one of my favourite ever players. Like, have you got someone like that? Someone else other than Kane?
Purely scoring goals rather than the kind of the aesthetics of the game?
Yeah, I think, yeah, just purely scoring goals.
First thing that springs to mind is Mario Jardel.
Yeah, okay.
That's my first fascination. That brings me back to my first fascination with Wikipedia and seeing his stats and going, has someone made a mistake? Like, that's crazy. Like, there's the same amount of goals as there are games. So I was always very much a kind of, you know, one in two. And then but Jardel was kind of just beyond that. So he kind of springs to mind. Not I saw him much, but it's more of a fascination with pure goal scoring. Because when he did come to Bolton for a little spell, it was like, maybe found his level in Portugal and Turkey.
Yeah. Okay. Alan Shearer was a pure goal scorer, wasn't he? He didn't do much else.
I just don't find him that likable.
No, true. The question was your favourites. Yeah, it wasn't just who are goal scorers; it was your favourites. So that's acceptable. Was there, has Spurs ever had another goal scorer like that?
So if I think back to my time supporting Spurs, Klinsmann is probably the first I remember. Then we've got Robbie Keane, Jermaine Defoe, Dimitar Berbatov. None of them were really like Jermaine Defoe kind of flattered to deceive, I think, in terms of goal scoring. He scored some absolute stonkers, but he really wasn't that much of a poacher. It was kind of more of the edge of the 18-yard box, and kind of a lot of his goals thrashed in rather than tap-ins and scoring those goals. Robbie Keane did a lot of work outside the box, but I enjoy all of them. Looking back, Dimitar Berbatov is just probably the top one for me. Other than that, I mean, players I've also fascinated with Zlatan Ibrahimovic, scores a lot of goals, scored a lot of goals. So I think that's probably another person who I kind of, again, computer games growing up and catching glimpses of him in foreign leagues and just seeing he just constantly scoring goals and he's got an outstanding record. Again, knew his level and adapted to that and put him in the leagues where he was going to score goals, I think. But yeah, they're probably the players that would spring to mind.
Teddy Sheringham.
Teddy Sheringham, yeah, really enjoyed him, and that was very much kind of outside of the box, playing passes. Paul would pop up with goals, great with his head and stuff. But yeah, it would probably in that, yeah, probably I've missed him off that list. But yeah, lovely player, but not probably more aesthetically pleasing than great goal scorer. We've had a lot of players who didn't score goals. We've got the Soldados, Postigas, Carlos Vinicius's, Ratiacs. There's been least favourite striker that's
Oh,
donned on the United shirt.
least favourite striker. There's a lot of them. David Bellion, he was pretty shit.
I'd classify him as kind of winger. I just to give him a little bit of help there.
Okay, Menucho has a bit of a legacy with me, but he was pretty terrible as well.
The last time Spurs sold one of our best strikers, Berbatov, to United, we got Fraser Campbell on loan, which was a pretty bleak time. We went from Keane and Berbatov to Darren Bent and Fraser Campbell and Roman Pavlyuchenko. That wasn't great.
Yeah, Fraser Campbell was actually pretty rubbish for both of our clubs, but it leads me very nicely, Joss, accidentally, into my next question for you. So, Harry Kane had plenty of loan spells before breaking through, didn't he? Sort of went around the English leagues. I mean, Wikipedia is telling me here, 18 games for Leyton Orient, 5 goals, 22 games for Millwall, 7 goals, 3 games for Norwich, 0 goals, 13 games for Leicester. 2 goals in that one. So 4 different loan spells in 4 different English teams across the divisions as well, with Leyton Orient, Millwall, and then Norwich and Leicester. Do you remember his loan spells? Was he like a coming up and coming player on our favoured Champ Manager, Football Manager games, things like that?
Yeah, and it was always like it was clips of him would score. Actually, ironically, I think was actually quite good at free kicks when he was younger. And but yeah, he was obviously mentioned. None of his loan spells I really looked upon as great successes.
Okay.
Maybe the Millwall one was probably the best, but funny the Leicester one, him and Jamie Vardy were on the bench in that game where Leicester Watford the end to end.
That the playoff?
Knock knock. Yeah, but not. Yeah, it was. Well, yeah, to knock out against the penalty, get saved. Almunia down the other end, Troy Deeney scores. Yeah, Harry Kane and Jamie Vardy are both on the bench for Leicester in that game.
Oh wow. Oh, yeah, okay, I didn't know that. That's a very interesting stat. So, can you think of any other players that have maybe been a bit like Kane in terms of loaned out to a few different teams and then became this amazing player?
I thought Andros Townsend was going to do similar. Obviously, it was part of the same youth team as
Yeah.
Harry Kane, and they had that spell. And I think Andros Townsend will probably look back at that spell where he was playing excellent football and then just got injured just before the World Cup. But I've always been fascinated by Andros Townsend's dribbling style because he was two way, both left foot, right foot, and really quite excellent when dribbling, and just kind of petered away. And he's had a good, excellent, not excellent career, good career. But I really thought he would have pushed on.
But yeah, what about players that have taken that next step and turned into world class is a
So.
term thrown around too much, but that sort of level.
Yeah, I suppose the West Ham teams, like so the Rio Ferdinands, that era used to go out on loan. Bournemouth was always a favoured one, wasn't it? I think Rio Ferdinands had a loan to Bournemouth as well as
That's true, yeah.
Jermaine Defoe has. Michael Carrick was loaned somewhere. I think Swindon, Michael Carrick was loaned to. Other than that, it's not more so. If you're a big club where you're a youth prospect, so say like if you're a smaller club, they're probably more likely to throw you in at a younger age because you might be their best player. Whereas if you're a bigger club, they'll be the United, for example, you've got your Wayne Rooney's, your Nistelrooy's in front of you. Therefore, they know want to keep you. One that springs to mind, they're not quite the same, but Lukaku went on loan to West Brom,
That's true.
signed by Chelsea, loan to West Brom.
He did. I don't know if he had a loan early on in his career from before Anderlecht, but
I wouldn't have thought so, because that kind of goes down to the smaller clubs and just taking a punt on him, wasn't it?
yeah,
Let's
it's
have a look.
very true. Yeah, no, loan to West Brom, loan to Everton, where he had another successful spell, who then obviously bought him permanently before
And
Man
then
United.
a less successful loan to Inter Milan last year.
Yeah, I mean, David Beckham, his fabled loan spell to Preston, played five games for David Moyes at Preston before returning to Man United, and then he went on, actually, like similar to Lukaku, doing a more experienced part of his career loan. David Beckham was obviously loaned to what? AC Milan, PSG, all from LA Galaxy, I think, wasn't
That was in the kind of the early year, wasn't it? While the MLS was out of season.
Yeah.
We have Ashley Cole went on loan when he was younger to Crystal Palace.
That's an interesting one. Yeah, I didn't know that. Didn't know at all. What about modern
I would
day?
be surprised if he played at left back.
Is that what they said on loan?
No, I'd be surprised if he played left back,
Oh.
and Ashley Cole.
I thought it was part of his Wikipedia page where he went loan to Palace and the manager was like, I'm surprised he plays left back.
He started off as a career as a forward.
Okay. So the final question then, Josh. Can you actually remember Harry Kane's first appearances for Spurs? Like, can you remember when he came on, who the manager was, what the games were?
So my memory of him is under Tim Sherwood. I don't think he got his debut under Tim Sherwood. I think it happened before that. But I remember him playing Europa League a lot, and the pressure was building because I think we had Soldado at the time. Pressure was building to Kane was scoring in Europa League, Europa Cup, whatever it was at the time, and it was kind of like, let's put Kane in, and I think he might have scored a few games into his debut. I think there was a little tap in at the back post against Sunderland, I want to say. And do you know what? He never really looked back. That I think that first season he scored some like maybe 10 goals in his first, 20 in his second. I mean, I think it's just been teens 20 goal a season ever since.
Okay,
It's just yeah.
it is strange. So Tim Sherwood was gave him his first Premier League start, but who was your manager before Tim Sherwood? Because that would have been his Premier League debut off the
Is that
bench.
AVB, maybe?
Yeah, it could have been AVB. Yeah, it's not mentioned on his Wikipedia page who actually gave him his Premier League debut. His Tim Sherwood gets credit for his Premier League start against Sunderland. Yeah,
Tim Sherwood likes to take credit for a lot of things with Harry Kane, it seems. Nobody's doing an interview. I'm like,
that's true.
He's really fallen away from anything football, isn't he?
Good. Thank God. Thank God. Thank
Yeah,
goodness.
it's not a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank
Thank
goodness.
goodness. It's not a loss to anyone. But yeah, Harry Kane then scored against West Brom when you were 3-0 down to come back to draw 3-all after scoring against Sunderland. So you're correct about that. And then he scored for his third match in a row, helping Tottenham to a 3-1 win over Fulham. And that's where Wikipedia comes in handy because I didn't remember any of that. So. Oh yeah, and then the next season he won PFA Young Player of the Year, so he did literally go from, in my mind, nothing to a very successful.
Yeah, and I must admit, I call him one season wonder. There's always that fear that you kind of it's going to fade away. But I think part of it is that it just builds that confidence. Like I liken it to similar to Mo Salah, who didn't really score prolifically before Liverpool, had some good underlying stats, but then has just gone strength to strength. And it becomes a belief. Like you do it 2, 3 seasons in a row, you're like I'm the man.
Yeah.
And Harry Kane's obviously done it for like 7, 8 seasons now, and it's just yeah, it's crazy.
It's true. It makes me think because me being outside of the Tottenham sphere and the Tottenham multiverse, however you want to call it, is that obviously for me, Harry Kane burst on the scene out of absolutely nowhere. Like, a few subs appearances. Okay, scored a goal against Sunderland and then scored a goal against West Ham or West Brom, sorry. But it was sort of like, yeah, out of absolutely nothing. I'd never heard about him in the under 21s, although he did play quite a lot for the England under 21s, 14 games, 8 goals. But it's sort of, is there strikers that you have that opinion with that aren't in Spurs sort of thing? Have you ever thought there's a Man United or an Arsenal or a Villa or someone else, another club where you've seen a striker just suddenly burst on the scene and be, well, either very successful or burst on the scene and fall away a little bit?
I think it's easy to remember those ones who burst on the scene and fall away because it's really easy to maybe score one or two on a debut, but But to keep up is really hard. To go unnoticed for a little bit is obviously the easy way. So players who've kind of bloomed late, obviously got the Jamie Vardys of this world, was doing it at lower league. Ian Wright, I suppose, was doing it at lower league, then came to do it main league. Hey, you got players like now, I'm somewhat surprised by their ages. Like Spurs, at the point we're recording this, Kane is still a Spurs player, but there's rumour around who would replace him. And Kolo Muani, for Frankfurt, I think it is being rumoured. He's like 23, 24 already, and I'm not sure he's a household name with a lot of people. He's older than Mbappe. It's kind of like, where's he been? It's just kind of, it's not necessarily old, but yeah. Drogba, I suppose, was a bit late bloomer. What's he wouldn't have been that. He would have probably been around 25, 26 when joining Chelsea.
Yeah, but he
That's probably a bit more out.
had done a lot at Marseille. He had scored goals, right, at Marseille. I think. Well, I should probably check it on
I think he was
Wikipedia.
very, yeah, but I don't think he was very long at Marseille. I think he had a one or two seasons at Marseille. Less bursting on the scene because he's not a striker, but N'Golo Kanté
Yeah, that's very true.
came out of nowhere.
Yeah. So Drogba, I didn't realise, played for two other clubs in France before Marseille in his senior career, Le Mans and Guingamp, and then Marseille was 19 in 35. So yeah, one season, and then Chelsea came calling, and then it, yeah, Chelsea, and then Shanghai Shenhua when they had all their money in China. Interesting. Okay, so what about people that have burst on the scene and just dropped into the oblivion? As you said, there should be a few more of them that come to mind. I mean, Fraser Campbell, we mentioned
Straight
earlier in the podcast.
away, I remember Makeda
Oh yeah, against Villa, did that really good turn and
against
fire it into
Villa,
the corner.
little flick turn, and then in the corner. I'm not sure his personal scene, but never fulfilled potential. Giuseppe Rossi, if I'm thinking United again.
Yeah, I used to
He had
love
that
Giuseppe
lovely
Rossi.
season at Villarreal, didn't he?
Yeah,
And
he did a really bad knee injury ended his career, actually. Never recovered from it. So, I sort of feel like people that burst on the scene, for some reason, I always think like Italians seem to do it quite a lot. Or people in the Italian league, like right now, Højlund obviously is the talking point for Man United and strikers and things like that. But again, it's one season, it's nine goals, I think he's scored. It could very much be a flash in the pan. Anthony Martial, to a degree, like flash in the pan at Monaco, first season at Man United, started really well and then dropped off. So.
Michael Owen, I think you'll probably describe as bursting on the scene.
Oh, 100%, yeah. Definitely he burst on the scene pretty much out of nowhere and then had a video where he scored against the kid. So, yeah, it was pretty good really. So, well, that's all my questions for you, Josh, on this first episode of season five in our new venture of Wikipedia Wanderers. So, we'll end every episode with you having the opportunity to ask me a question about Harry Kane. So, like opinion or fact or something like that. And I've sprung this on him, people. He didn't know this was happening. So,
Do you think that Harry Kane needs to win a Premier League or Champions League medal to be revered as a great, a legend of the game?
oh, that's a great question. My immediate answer would be yes, because I think you struggle to find legends of the game that haven't won that sort of title, trophy, however you want to call it. The only, well, I was going to say Francesco Totti, but I think he won the Serie A with Roma one year. So it's hard to think of a legend of the game that hasn't won Old Big Ears or their domestic league. So I think yes, I'd go yes, he has to win something.
It's funny because the other side of it isn't true. So just because you win the league title doesn't make you a legend.
No, exactly, yeah. I think.
There'll be players who've won, like, so, and also, how is Alan Shearer remembered for winning the league title with Blackburn in 1996, was it? Or is he remembered for being a pure goal scorer and having scored 260 goals in the Premier League?
He's remembered as a pure goal scorer, but he has won the league. So.
But how much of a but is that? For me, I think obviously Harry Kane's up completely with the right to do what he wants. I don't think it makes him a little. I think quite often, whilst a player's playing, they're not revered as highly as they should be. It's only once they retire. It always obviously being a talking point, which you don't want to detract from what he's done. But I don't think he has to, but I think it'd be nice if he did. And I do. The more the time goes by, I look back upon those close encounters with trophies that Spurs have had and hadn't realised the enormity of those at the time, because you obviously hope that the next season will bring it. Next season will bring it. But yeah, those Champions League final, those two Premier League title races where we fell short is really now put in perspective. If you had, like, for example, if we had one of those, would Harry Kane be leaving? Maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe not. Well, we'll end it there on that. So thank you very much, Josh, for answering my questions. It's Josh's turn next week to pick a topic and ask me questions about them. And we hope to, well, hear you and see you then. So thank you so much for listening in. We'll catch you next week. Cheers.